Hi, this is Ken McCarthy, and we're going to be talking with Perry Marshall today about his experience of the System Seminar. And Perry came to the very first seminar that we did and immediately became very active in everything that we were involved in, was a faculty member many times, a great researcher and educator, and just pusher of the envelope. And so I asked him if he'd get on the call today and just talk a little bit about the System Seminar, his experience with it. And you probably know Perry Marshall as being one of the very, very top authorities on AdWords, but that's just really the tip of the iceberg. He's a real great wide-ranging thinker on all kinds of business issues, a master of direct marketing, and a master of applying classic direct marketing principles to Internet marketing, which is kind of the basis, has always been the basis of our System Seminar approach. So Perry, welcome and thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for the intro.
Yeah.
And you, and I, Perry, you know, I appreciate the fact that, you know, you've been doing these seminars. I learned the hard way that doing a seminar is a lot more complicated than it ever looks on the surface, especially if you do it right. Right. So.
Yep.
You're
a brave man. You're a brave man because you went and did another one out in Maui.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you know, after a while, you do sort of figure it out, but it's probably not the first time that you figure it out. So, the first System Seminar, like, dang, that was 9 years ago, and I've been thinking about this, actually. There's kind of this cyclical nature to history, and you kind of think about what happened in the last 10 years on the Internet. Well, about 10 years ago is when the dot-com crash happened, right?
Yep.
And, you know, so I've been intimately involved in all this online stuff, not as long as you, but since late 97, certainly. Paying really close attention and doing business on the Internet during that whole time. And, you know, so the dot-com thing was, you know, it was obviously a bubble. I think everybody even knew it at the time. However, it was also equally obvious that a major cultural and technological shift had just happened, that there were going to be huge winnings for the winners. Like, everybody could tell. It wasn't like any secret. That's why there was a bubble, right? Like, boy, this is going to be huge. Somehow or another.
The question was the somehow or another part that was pretty tricky to sort out.
Of course. And you know, we make fun of the dot-com days and everything, but you do have to give people credit for a certain amount of chutzpah to throw their ring in and start a company and raise venture capital or whatever they did, no matter how stupid it was. I mean, you know, and frankly, most of that money really didn't go to waste. It built things. It built things that, you know, it may have never been profitable. Like, you know, all the overpriced banner ads that they were selling in 1999, they were paying for something, and mostly what they were paying for was, you know, lots of fiber optic cable to get built, and, you know.
Yeah. No, it's true. The infrastructure got built out much faster than any of us ever dreamed was possible.
Yeah.
And a lot of that had to do, and it is cyclical, you know, these periods of intense excitement, and everybody jumps on, and yeah, that was very important to getting the Internet to where it is today.
Yeah, so so then there's the dot-com crash, and then all of a sudden the Internet isn't really nearly as exciting anymore. Certainly the easy money is all evaporated. Well,
right.
You know, the way these cycles work is that's when the smart money starts working.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Google introduced AdWords, and, well, there was an early version, I think, probably 10 years ago, but then there was a kind of a souped-up version that became the real thing in 2002. And again, it's in the wake of, you know, nobody really realizes that, hey, you know, this is where the world is going. And that's when the real practitioners started doing their thing. And I'll never forget the second system seminar. I believe it was in Cincinnati. But
yep,
what I remember about it was that all of these online marketing people just came out of the woodwork and showed up there.
That's right.
And it was like it became Grand Central Station of all the smart small entrepreneurs. You know, I don't know where the big ones with billions of dollars were, but the ones with shoestring budgets and have to turn $1 into $2, they were all there. You know, and some really great. You know, I met Howie Jacobson there. I met John Reese there. I met Armin Morin there. I met just a whole bunch of very influential people. And so anyway, I think that where we are now, you know, so you've had this big economic crash and everything that we don't really need to belabor, but the smart money, there was a lot of dumb money that was going on, you know, 3 years ago. Well, now it's the smart people using money smartly that are retransforming, you know, what the internet is going to be next. And I think all the hype about social media is like all the people that don't know how to use it. And then there's other people that aren't hyping it, and they're quietly actually using it. And so I think we're at the same place we were 10 years ago.
It is kind of similar. It is definitely kind of similar. And yeah, there are people grabbing at the easy stuff, which I would call pop social media, and making names for themselves with, I think kind of thin advice. It's much in the way similar people did in the .com era, sort of pie in the sky projections. And then you're right, there are people quietly behind the scenes working out the details. And, you know, for example, you were one of them in the AdWords arena. You know, Google came out with AdWords and it was great. But I remember distinctly that most of the pros at the time looked at AdWords and said, "What the heck is this?" And didn't really pay it too much mind. It seemed a little too complicated.
Right.
But now, of course, you know, not that many years later, really, AdWords has become this massive juggernaut, the basis for lots and lots of successful businesses. But I think it takes the small entrepreneur, the quote small in, let's say, numerical power, it takes the small entrepreneur to actually figure stuff out. I just think big companies generally are unable to figure anything out. They're able to follow. They're not able to really innovate too well.
I think we all have a danger of being the victim of our own success.
Oh, yeah.
You start thinking that, well, you know, okay, this is the master formula of everything. And no, actually, it's the master formula of now. And the way, you know, why it's working relates to some deeper principle that you might not even really recognize. And so, you got to always question your assumptions.
I think, for instance, one of the, you know, talking about themes that are coming up that'll be at this system, this last system, by the way, in case anybody didn't know that, but also themes in the industry, I think number one is getting beyond AdWords, not leaving AdWords, because if AdWords pays, by all means, you know, keep at it, keep expanding it, but finding all the other paid traffic sources. And I think this has become a big theme among the smart, what we would call the smart money, not depending, you know, first of all, not just hoping that somehow Facebook and Twitter is going to bring you lots of business magically, and also not being 100% dependent on AdWords. I mean, that's sort of the easy thing to do. The hard thing to do, which is what I think the smart money does, is look at, okay, well, you know, we see what is easy, what works, and what we're finding that works and what's going to be represented at this system is, you know, alternative traffic sources. It's not instead of Google, but beyond Google.
Well, yeah. And I've told people for years, like every time we do our bobsled run training, which starts with AdWords and goes through the whole sales funnel, I'd always, you know, the first session, I'd always say, you know, if 1 year from now you're getting most of your traffic from Google, I haven't done my job. Because the whole point of Google is that we're just going to use it as an anvil to prove out your sales process. And if you do what you're supposed to do without a huge amount of effort, you ought to be able to easily find other traffic sources that work. You know, if you get Google to work, then probably affiliates will work, and probably banner ads and other networks will work, and postcards and emails and all this other kind of stuff will work. And so, I got a ton of customers, not surprisingly, who, you know, kind of got lazy, like, well, boy, you know, this AdWords thing is great. And they coast along, and, you know, the world has a funny way of correcting itself. Google says, well, we got to thin the herd. What are we going to do? And they start banning people with certain kinds of websites and things. And, you know, you can sit and argue about whether that's right or wrong, but the fact is it's their company. They can do what they want, and that's what they decided to do. It's like, well, you know, we don't like these kinds of affiliates. We don't like these kind of offers. We don't like these kinds of websites. So you're out. And, you know, and there's 100 other people standing in line to buy the same traffic, so it doesn't hurt Google any. And then people are, like, you know, crapping their pants, wondering what to do. Well, that's what happens when one thing is three-fourths of your business.
Well, one of the great virtues or benefits of the kind of businesses that we start and our clients start is I would say you don't have to have a ton of capital to get started. But you do have to be, you have to have knowledge. So, if you want to open a restaurant or you want to open a factory, you have to have knowledge, but you also have to have, you know, $2 million or millions of dollars to get started.
Yep.
With our kinds of businesses, it's truly a knowledge-based game. That's the upside. And the downside, not necessarily a permanent downside, but the downside is that you don't just gather knowledge, you know, one weekend and you're done, because, just as Perry pointed out, things get shifted, things change, and you can actually use that to your advantage, because it's as hard for your competitors and other people in your niche to keep up as it is for you. And if you have a mindset to keep up, and if you've created a network of resources to help you keep up, and Perry's a great example of what I would call a network of resources. I think the system is a great network of resources. This is, obviously I've got a vested interest here, but I think one of the most important things an internet entrepreneur can do, besides learning today's current practices as well as they can, is make sure you're connected with one or two or more really first-class networks of experts who are continually probing the next, you know, where's this going next? Let's be frank. I mean, how many people woke up one day because of various Google changes and found their income cut, you know, 90%? That's pretty shocking experience, and yet it's not that uncommon, right?
No. That happened to a lot of people. I'll even go further and say what they had really done is they had built a Google-centric entire business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are some examples where that's fine, but this is an example where their business is built on the continual goodwill of Google. This happens all the time. I mean, let's say that you have a software company and you have software that runs on Windows 3.0 or whatever, you know, the first Windows was. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they come roll out with Windows 95 and you basically have to rewrite everything to, you know, well, okay.
Yeah,
you have passed your lot with that technology.
Or another example would be somebody that creates a company to market a certain thing and doesn't really have control over that thing. You know, it's produced or manufactured by somebody else.
Yeah, a distributor or somebody. Yeah, sure.
So these things, or someone becomes an employee, and I know we have some salespeople on this call, as we do on all calls, and you go out and knock yourself out to create a really healthy territory, and you get called in, patted on the back, and said, hey, we're going to split that territory in half.
Yeah.
Give you the weak half because you're such a good salesperson, and we're going to split up. Or that's how I think. Who's that guy that ran for president that started electric data processing?
Perot.
Perot. That's how Perot got started. He was one of IBM's very, very best salesperson, and he kept slicing and dicing his territories after he made them super profitable. So there's 1,001 ways to get this wrong. And there's a pretty, it's a simple way, but not easy. And just to take this back, it's simple, but not easy, which is to realize, hey, whatever is working now probably isn't going to work forever. Especially if it's technology based, or certainly if it's internet based. No need to despair, no need to, you know, throw your hands in the air, but does make sense to make an investment in time, at least know who the cutting edge people are, where they are, start relationships with them, start listening to them. You know, my God, even learn some things and start putting them into practice before the water dries up, not after. And that's what we've tried to do with the system over all these years. Is number one, we're always concerned with fundamentals, because I find that 95% of all the business conversations I have where problems are involved always lead back to some very fundamental issue. And it's so easy, right? It's so easy for any of us. Doesn't matter how long we've been doing it, how successful we are, how successful we're not. Doesn't, you know, for some reason, losing track of fundamentals is a very common thing. So we're always very fundamentals oriented. But our second half of our mission has always been, okay, who's doing really interesting stuff now that is not yet been discovered? For instance, Perry, I'm pretty sure your very first talk on Google AdWords, when it was still a matter of confusion to a lot of people, was at a system seminar way back when.
Yeah, that was my first invitation. So
yeah.
It was from you.
And that was, you know, I got to say, on our side, that was, you know, quote, a risk. You know, hey, you know, who's Perry? Is AdWords really anything? Because everybody says it isn't, and everybody says GoTo or Overture really is the real thing. We've been willing every year to look out and try being as objective as possible and just say, hey, this guy's doing some really interesting stuff. You know, nobody can tell the future, but this seems like it's important. And we've done that every year. Sometimes we succeed. You know, we get people that, you know, like Perry, that, you know, are right on the pulse. Sometimes maybe not. But it's part of our ongoing mission, and it appears at every one of our seminars. And I have to say, and Perry, tell me if I'm wrong here, but that's worth a lot. It's, you know, where are you going to find a resource where somebody is spending, you know, 12 months out of the year examining dozens, scores, hundreds of different potential futures for the internet, and then, you know, very carefully picking the very best people. You know, it's easy to pick a famous person or pick somebody that's got a big following or pick somebody, you know, who's got, you know, already a massive reputation or who's doing something that's, you know, massively popular. Not so easy necessarily to pick somebody that doesn't yet have a high profile and maybe working in an area that isn't yet understood as being as important as it is. And I think if people want to know what's the difference between this and most other seminars, it's that over the years we've always tried to find those people long, you know, before everybody else finds them. Because in our business,
I agree. And actually, I think that's your talent. Like, what's Ken's unique ability? I think it's two things right off the top of my head. One is being a talent scout. Not really quite sure how you do it, but you do find these people somewhere. And the other thing is you being a student of history and understanding how it does repeat itself. So you kind of have this knack for seeing the pattern, the mega patterns, and how they fit into whatever's happening now. And that's a whole tangent I won't go into. But back to the talent scout thing, you know, there are a lot of different ways to put together a seminar. And the easiest way to put together a seminar is to figure out who knows how to sell stuff and put them on your stage. And, you know, I I'm in the seminar business. I know how the sausage is made. And, you know, there's an awful lot of seminars where the education you get out of them is probably third or fourth on the list of priorities. You know, I think that it's entirely possible to charge somebody a couple thousand dollars for a seminar that gives them really hardly anything other than an opportunity to buy stuff. And I don't really think that's what a seminar should be about.
I agree.
You know, so what you do is you dream and scheme and you research and network and talk to people and read blogs and whatever it is that you do. And you handpick people who are doing interesting cutting-edge things with online marketing. You find people whose, you know, whatever they're doing is congruent with the larger lasting principles of what, you know, how the world works, you know, and scientific advertising, if you will, and you bring them in. So every year, Ken's System Seminar is always going to have three or four speakers that nobody's ever heard of. They probably, you know, couldn't drive a stampede of buyers to the back of the room if their life depended on it, but they do know how to do something and they know how to explain what they do. So I think that is a greatly underrated thing. And I think in our culture, it is so entertainment driven that most people don't really know a real education if it sat down at their breakfast table and belched. And so, you know, how do they know whether, you know, this is a real education or if this is just a smoke and mirrors show? I mean, you know, I kind of shudder to think, like, I don't know, how many friends do I have that, you know, they've got entrepreneurial dreams, so they saw something on late night TV and who knows where that led them, you know? So,
yeah.
That's what I like about the system. It's a real education.
Yeah, and that's, and I was inspired by people like, for instance, Jonathan Mizell, and I don't think you ever had the opportunity to go to one of Jonathan's. I think they were called Internet Summits back in the 90s, the mid 90s, and into the late 90s. So those were just amazing, and they were pure education, really good stuff. And so I always had that in the back of my mind, and then. Roughly the same year, Dan Kennedy gave amazing seminars, which I, you know, thought really highly of and got a lot of benefit from, and that was sort of another model in the back of my head. And I always like to tell people, you know, I'm old-fashioned. I feel that if you pay for a seminar, you should get a seminar and not a thinly disguised morphed MLM pep rally in internet clothing, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's a profession. This is a profession like any other, which means there's a front end of getting educated. There's an ever upward spiraling of greater expertise and greater experience, greater insight, greater understanding, sticking with it through the thick and the thin, joining with colleagues to, combine wits to try to figure out where things are going. Which Perry and I have done a fair amount over the years together, and this is some of the fun part of being in our business. I'm just going to mention some of the people that we're going to have this year. It might be interesting. Again, you'll definitely hear some new names. We're going to have someone named David Antley, maybe not well known, but he actually worked with Mark Cuban at Broadcast.com. He was part of Overture.com, worked with Yahoo, and helped ramp up Lexington Law, which is a massive, legitimate credit repair legal firm that has lawyers in all 50 states that help people battle credit bureaus, and really very, very sharp marketer. We're also going to have a fellow from England named Ben Hunt, which some people may recognize his name. He's a very well-regarded web designer, but he came to one of our seminars in London a couple of years ago and discovered our approach, which is basically a direct response approach, and he had the integrity and courage, because he'd already been a web designer since 1994, and you know, it's very hard to get people to change their spots. And designers tend to be designers, and they tend not to be interested in direct response because it gets in the way of what they want to do. But he grasped our direct response model in 2008 and said, you know what, I've been wrong all these years. I need to start testing designs, not just coming up with what I think are brilliant ones, but coming up with multiple designs. And that may seem like an obvious thing, especially for experienced people, but there's millions of designers out there that have never heard that. But anyway, he's got a lot of experience in that area now. He's written a book that's coming out, and I think he's going to be doing a lot to change the way web design is done, which is going to be good for all of us because we'll all be able to work with more educated web designers. We're also going to have Brian Kurtz. Brian Kurtz was this is for the System Club members, people that come to the early day. Brian has been the right-hand man to Marty Edelstein for the last 30 years at Boardroom. This is a company that started literally on a kitchen table that some years generated as much as $100 million in revenue. Selling information. They are info marketers. And really very, very interesting company. And one of the reasons I've got Brian, besides the fact that he's a master historian of direct response, he's also helped guide Boardroom from their paper and ink postal model to an infomercial model and an internet model, and they're doing very well in all those areas. So those are just, and we're gonna have people that I've met through Perry, for instance, like Len Livingston, great researcher, great mind. So there's just a few of the names of some of the people that are gonna be joining us, people you might not see in other places, just people you might not have heard of before, but bring massive firepower to the world of internet marketing. And this will be our last big extravaganza. As Perry will testify, it ain't easy putting on a big seminar.
No.
And I love it, but you kind of have to, at some point in your life, you have to say, well, is this what I'm going to, this is all, because it's kind of an all, could we say that it's an all-absorbing thing for several months? Is that a fair thing to say?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been totally happy with it, and believe me, it's not easy to say no more. But there are a lot of other things I want to do in my life, and I can't necessarily do both. I can't do it, let's put it this way, I can't do it at the level I've been doing it and do other things that I would like to do at the level I'd like to do those. So I feel I've done my duty. I didn't just, profit from the internet and keep all the secrets to myself. I did everything I could to get the information out to as many people as I could. We've now got multiple generations, right? I mean, Perry, you've got master students who are now master teachers, and maybe some of those guys have become master teachers in their own right, and are generating a new generation of master teachers. So
yeah,
we definitely got a good virus going. So I think it's fair for me to say, hey, this is the last one. Perry, you're going to be in Russia, you scoundrel, unfortunately, but I'm glad for you. I think that's fascinating. Perry's been to every system we've ever done, but he got one of these great offers that you can't refuse to go over and teach in Russia, which I would do in a minute, in a heartbeat, believe me. Russia's a wild place, and the culture and the people are amazing, and you're going to have quite an experience there.
So I'm sorry I won't be there, but I'll send some of my students in my behalf, I guess.
Hey, well, you know what? Keep an eye out for somebody that might be interested in translating some, like, the system seminar greatest hits into Russian. I've been kind of had in the back burner for years, and if you run into anybody who might find that interesting, I would love to have a presence over there, because that's a country with very bright people, and they're sitting on some. Those guys are smart. Did you know, Perry? You might appreciate this. I think it's true. Could be wrong, but I heard it once that there are more people with engineering degrees in Russia than in China and India combined.
I could believe it.
Yeah.
I know for example, there's this great book that I've been reading called Startup Nation, which is about Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Israel is very peculiar because they only have 7 million people, but they're second only to the United States and NASDAQ companies, and they get more venture capital than all of Europe combined. And a major reason why there's such a concentration of talent there is that in the 90s, Russia was belching out Russian Jews. who fled to Israel.
Yep, I remember.
And you know, there's there's a ton of concentration of IQ and innovation, plus you have this melting pot of all these different ways of doing things there. So, you know, small but mighty. And
absolutely.
Yeah, the Russian
absolutely.
Thing is a big piece of it. So
yeah, they have a great it's a great drive to get things done, and it, you know, I'm going to turn this into a seminar on Russians, but it is kind of interesting that one of the biggest ethnic groups that are entrepreneurial right now in America, even Russian immigrants are very highly represented. So I envy you that you're going there. I completely understand why you would take that opportunity, and I want to take this time. To thank you for all these years of incredible support for what we've been doing. It's not always been easy. You know, if guys, you know, looking from afar, you may think, oh, well, like, you know, that's the easy way to do it. Not necessarily. The challenges along the way, as for everything else. It's almost easier in some ways to go along and just do the sort of showbiz infotainment kind of nonsense. I might have gotten more commercial support, you know, within the quote industry. So it was not necessarily always easy to stick to this road, but Perry has been a stalwart supporter every step of the way, always willing to listen to my latest new crazy idea, always willing to share his latest new crazy idea with me, which I greatly appreciate. So thank you, Perry. And guys, we're going to be in New York City this year. It's going to be April 15th through April 17th. You can find out more information about this at thesystemseminar.com. Love to see you there. It will be the last one. So if you've heard about the system and you've always wanted to go, wow, now's the time. If you're just hearing about it, do some digging. Research us. Find, you know, look into what we've done over the years. And this might be a very, very important thing for you to participate in and get hooked into, because even though it's our last one, the network doesn't disappear. That will go on. I'm going to continue to teach virtually. Just not going to try to do the big Coliseum type events anymore. Not that we get to Coliseum size. We're usually about 300 change. But great. Hey, Perry, thanks again for the time. Thanks for the years and years of support. Thanks for contributing so much to our industry. It's, you know, like I tell a lot of people, a lot of internet marketing systems begin with step one, learn Perry Marshall's AdWords system. Step two, come back and I'll show you what I do with it. And so I'm really proud. It was kind of an accident that you were a student, but it was a happy accident. I can't say that I had a grand strategy to find Perry, but I'm glad that we found each other. And
well,
family.
To your credit, though, what you had was an environment that cultivated a lot of discovery and sharing and reciprocity. So, you know, the environment you created was, hey, let's figure out what the best thing is and let's do it, regardless of what the big wide world is indulging in at the moment. You know, we got into a conversation, I guess it would be like 9 years ago or something, or 10, 8, whatever, whenever it was. You know, the prevailing view was, okay, you start with Overture and then you do all these other things. And I said, well, okay, I think Google just bumped Overture in line here. And you patiently listened to me while I explained why. Now, another mm-hmm. thing that I got to give you some credit for is I remember at the second seminar that I referred to a few minutes ago.
Yep.
Somebody got up. I don't even remember who it was, but they were heavily involved in buying banner ads. That's what I remember about them. And they were describing this experiment they did where they decided to use banner ads to figure out what people wanted on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
They said, let's not assume that we know. You know, we assume that people want chocolate and flowers and all this kind of stuff. Let's start putting, just sticking things in front of people. And they started, they must have played word association or something, and they started just putting things out. And by tracking the clicks on these banner ads, they figured out that a huge unmet need on the internet was people who don't have a date on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I'm listening to this, and I'm totally intrigued by the idea of just, you know, putting something in front of people and seeing if they'll click on it. And I file it away. I don't seem to have an immediate way to use this. I'm not buying millions of banner ad impressions. But then AdWords comes along, and I'm sitting in a meeting where we're trying to discuss the title of a little event that we're doing here in Chicago. It was a church thing. And it occurs to me, hey, wait a minute. We don't have to argue about the name of this event. I can stick it in front of people and see if they click on it. And that's where this whole thing of testing headlines and book titles and stuff on Google AdWords, which is now very common. But you know, when I explained that at the system seminar, as far as I know, nobody had ever really talked about using AdWords that way before. At least not as far as I know.
No, most people were fixated, and still are to a strange degree, on just the traffic alone.
Right.
Not on the fact that AdWords, as you alluded to earlier in the call, is a great test bed. It's a great place to see what's going to work. Not to make it your end all and be all.
Right.
But you know, and yeah, no, that was very new thinking then, absolutely. And a lot of now it's in the mainstream. And frankly, a lot of stuff that was very, very new back then and first presented at our events is in the mainstream now. And I think, you know, part of it is because we've always been willing to listen and always been willing to, you know, not hierarchize people and say, well, this guy's not super famous, so we're going to go find someone who's super famous and ask his opinion.
Right.
I was more interested in who's got a good opinion, who can back it up. If it sounds crazy at first, I don't care, because a lot of great things that work out amazingly sound crazy at first and turn out to be not so crazy at all.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in an environment like that and being with super pros in the internet industry, discovering some new ideas and new approaches that may not be even discussed yet anywhere else on the planet, in a friendly environment too, I think we should add that. It's not just a bunch of gurus on the stage pounding our chests, you know, talking about how great we are. We're really interested, and Perry's a perfect example of this, and does it in his business as well. We're really interested in finding people who have interesting ideas and bring something new to the table and bringing them up the next rung of the ladder too. I mean, I always felt it benefited me to do that. Perry obviously has the same attitude because you see how many people he's brought up, finding talented people and giving them a profile. So don't feel that, you know, you're going to be this semi-welcome person at somebody else's party. The party really, in many ways, is for the new people. It really is to get them in the flow and get them introduced to the right people. And if they've got something ready to show, give them a place to show it. So Perry, thanks again. We're going to be in New York City, Last System, April 15th through 17th. Go to thesystemseminar.com. I think there's a video at thesystemseminar.com/last that will explain a little bit more about what we do, and you can read all about it, read about our graduates, read about our current faculty for this year. And Perry, enjoy your trip to Russia. Please send me one of your famous postcards in Cyrillic if you can manage it. But if not, I'll take it one in English. And have a safe trip, and we'll talk when you get back.
Well, Ken, thank you very much for all you've done, and really wish you a very full house at your New York seminar. So we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.